And welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. My name is Kelly Rayburn, and of course, Michael is away today. Today, I'm going to play you some autism stuff as well. So I'm going to play you that in a few minutes right now. And of course, this is all part of the Autism Live Spectrum group that they do at the Center for Autism and Related Disorders, or known as CARD. You can find out more information on their system in their website, www.centerforautism.com. Anyways, Happy New Year to everybody who is listening to us either on three stations across Canada. Well, now mostly we're on the west coast of Vancouver, but we are on the west coast. So if you want to hear us also on NCRA stations, you can go to previous.ncra.ca for a program exchange and check us out on there. Anyways, back to the Autism Live. This one is on December 14th, 2017, before they had their, I guess, their Christmas and New Year's break. So we'll have a listen to that. Autism Live is a production of the Center of Autism-Related Disorders, known as CARD, headquarters in Woodland Hills in California, but their offices are across the globe. Excuse me. For more information, you can check under Center for Autism, all in one word, .com. And of course, you can check their website, www.autism-live.com, and you can sign up for their free newsletter. Just to let you know, programs note, the advice and opinions expressed by the host of the Autism Live and their guests are meant solely as a suggestion and should not be in any way constructed as a child-specific advice. The Center for Autism and Related Disorder advises working with the Board Certified Behavior Analysis, or known as BCBA, who has experience with autism before starting the intensive behavior intervention. Any choices you make in determining your child's treatment are completely at your own discretion. And now here is the broadcast of December 14th of Autism Live with your host, Shannon Penrod. Enjoy.
Good morning and welcome to Autism Live. We want to wish everybody a happy Hanukkah and happy holidays. It's a very exciting time of the year. I love this time of year because it doesn't matter which holiday you celebrate, it's about the lights. Everybody celebrates with some form of light, and there is always something about coming from darkness into light. I love the Hanukkah story, this whole idea of somebody saying, you know, you've only got enough oil for this much, you're not going to make it. But there's something miraculous about the human spirit and the universe as a whole, and somehow they make it. It's just, what a story. We just, the other day, were decorating our Christmas tree, and we have these wonderful little ornaments that make me so happy. They're hand-glown glass pigs with wings. And I was saying to my husband and my son, do you remember what the story? Because every ornament has a story. And by the end of the night, they're like, oh, another, what's the story behind this one? Right? But I said, does everybody remember what the pigs with the wings story is? Because way back when, they were telling us that my son probably wasn't going to talk, probably wasn't going to be in kindergarten with neurotypical peers, probably wasn't going to be caught up, probably wasn't going to go to college, you know, whatever. And we love The Lion in Winter when Eleanor turns and she says something, and he says, when pigs fly, and she says, there'll be pork in the treetops by morning. That woman is like my 23rd great-grandmother, really, in terms of genealogy. And I'm like, yes, grandma, there'll be pork in the treetops by morning. That's what we said to autism. I love the spirit of, okay, so-and-so said, you can't do that. All right, stand back, watch just do it, okay? And that's part of what Hanukkah is all about. That's part of the story behind Hanukkah. Yes, we can. Si se puede. We can do it. Hold hands, right? Anyway, we're here this morning on this lovely Thursday morning. We got a big show for you. Lots of toys to talk about today. Plus, really fabulous interview with Christina Adams because she just came back from India. We're going to do all that. But first, we want to remind you that we love to interact with you. So Samantha's going to show you some of the different ways that you can interact with us while I remind you that our homepage is autism-live.com. When you go there, lots to do. But there is a tab up in the upper right-hand corner that says blog. If you click on that, it's going to take you to some information and the link to our Autism Live Toy and Gift Guide 2017, which I really want to encourage you to check out. Got some great gifts for a lot of great people. And when we tried to space it out into different kinds of things that would be good for everybody of every age on the autism spectrum. So there's all of that. But remember that, you know, we love to hear from you regardless of whatever. Samantha's shown you some of the different ways you can watch, some of the different ways you can participate. Remember that on the live feature, which we're having a little bit of issue with this morning, but on the live feature, if you put your cursor in the box that says your question and you type and hit enter, it typically shows up here on my screen. We'll see if it does or not today. And then you and I can have a conversation, and ever so much better than that, you can have a conversation with our experts, which leads me to my next point. We have a lot of experts on the show. I'm not one of them. I'm an autism mom, and I'm a former educator, and I adore you, and I want you to have everything. We talked about this last week with mindfulness, you know, pray for other people that, you know, that they get all the things that they want, and I absolutely want you to get all the things that you want. I want to help to connect you to resources. Resources because it matters to me. Because why? Because somebody helped me. And then when I said to them, what can I do to repay you? They said, pay it forward. Well, here I am, ladies and gentlemen, wanting to pay it forward to you to give you some hope, some inspiration, and some information, right? If we got those three, there's nothing we can't do. Si se puede. Hold hands. We can do it. Okay. Having said all of that, it's time for our jargon of the day. This is when we take on one word, one phrase, one acronym, and we try to, first of all, make fun of it. Just gonna be honest, because why not? Life is short. Let's make fun of rude definitions that use the same words in the definition, which I think we got a little bit of today in both of our. But so we've been talking about the different kinds of play. The first thing that we talked about was functional pretend play, right? That's the one where you have a kitchen and we're going to play kitchen, right? And it's got dishes and it's got a little sink and we put a pan on the stove and we're playing kitchen. It's functional pretend. We're trying to look like the grown-ups, and it's very, very useful to do that. Then we went on to symbolic play. That's when you've got a toy and it's not quite the thing, and I've got literally nothing on my desk, but you know, I pick up my iPad and I say, you know, that it's a phone, right? Anything can be a phone. So I'm endowing the iPad with the qualities of a phone. Then from there we move on to imaginative play, where there's nothing. I'm just miming the phone. Hello? Yes, no, she's here for you. Hold on a second. Let me see if she's available, right? And I pass you the phone. That's symbolic. That's imaginative play, right? Then we want to put it all together, right? Isn't that part of what we all want to do always? Like, we learn a lesson here, we learn a lesson here, we learn a lesson here, and let's put it all together to arrive at something great. So what is our jargon today? It's sociodramatic play. This is when, first of all, let's take a look at our actual definition. Let's do that. Play, which involves the acting out of scripts, scenes inspired by real life, books, cartoons, and other media. Individuals take, assume roles using themselves and or other characters like dolls, figurines, and puppets as they interact together on common themes. Doesn't that sound nice and dry, like a stick in Texas? Take a look at what our working definition is. This is make-believe or pretend play. And by the way, you know, some of you may not participate in Halloween, but I tell you, go the week after Halloween and buy all the costumes that they have in the stores when they're like a dollar, and put them together in a box or a trunk or in a closet. oh my gosh, this is some really good fun play for our kiddos. And they get to take on other characteristics of other people. I especially love when you got little kids and you can find the fireman and the policeman and the doctor, you know, and all of those kinds of, because then they can role play and play those people. It's when you take the functional pretend kitchen, right? And you add an apron to it. And somebody puts on the apron and they go, I'm the grandma. Right? And then somebody else, they've got, you know, dog ears that are in a headband that they can put on. They go, I'm the dog. And somebody else, you know, puts, a thing over their head. And they go, I'm the baby. Right? And then we all start to play roles. And when we play roles, we try not to be ourselves. We take on characteristics of other people. Well, if you stop and think about that, that teaches us to think of, well, what would it be like if I'm the dog? That's perspective taking. That's, you know, social skills, it's executive function skills, it's cognition. It's just like everything you've been working on goes whoosh and makes a tree. So sociodramatic play, so useful. And a lot of times our kids start out and they don't know what to do with sociodramatic play. If you bring them around other kids, especially, we talk from time to time about one of the greatest therapists there is on the face of the earth is the bossy gut girl. The girl that's just a little bit older, a little bit more together than everybody else. And she's like, you do this. And you know what happens when you play with a bossy gut? I was a bossy gut girl. I'm just saying, I'm still a bossy gut girl, right? But we make the best therapist. Because we'll go, no, you do this. We're the cruise directors, right? You do this, you do this, you do this, and now we're going to play. And then you know what happens with the bossy gut girl, which never happens with a therapist who's trained rarely, but the bossy gut girl then decides she's going to change the whole thing. Nope, I've changed my mind. I want to be the dog. Now you're the mother. And, you know, sometimes that causes frustration with our kids, but it also teaches flexibility. Following rules, flexibility, figuring it out, taking perspectives. Sociodramatic play, super duper fun, super duper fabulous for our kids, and a way to take the functional pretend play, the symbolic play, and the imaginative play and put it all together and make it really social. Super, super fabulous. Get some costumes or costume pieces. Even if you have to start with, you know how they have those things on the stick that are like mustaches and you take pictures? Start there. That's a form of sociodramatic play, and have a ball with it, because that's what play is all about, having fun. Don't be dismayed if your kiddos don't love it the first time out. Partner it with something that is fun, like we take the picture with the mustaches and then we look at the pictures and laugh hysterically and tickle while we're doing it. Eventually they'll like taking the pictures. It's all good. Okay, moving on to our question of the day. So if you could be anyone for one day, who would you be? Now, you know, the truth is that so many of the times I would say, oh my gosh, you know, well, I want to be Oprah. Can I please be Oprah for a day? I would love to be Oprah for a day. But, and then my second choice would be to be Ellen for a day. These are the people that I want to be, but they've been having such a tough time with the fires up in Santa Barbara. You know, nobody wants to be them right now, and our best thoughts are with them. But who would you want to be if you could be anybody for just a day? And think about that. It's a little bit of a mental vacation. It's a little bit of mindfulness. Who would you want to be and why? And then think, like, just the fun parts of that, of being imagining if you could be somebody else for a day. And imagine how fun that can be for a kid. And truthfully, any of us can be anybody for 5 minutes if we want to, because we can do it in our imagination. But this is why sociodramatic play is so much fun. It's why people love Halloween. You get to be somebody else and see what it's like when people interact with you as if you were somebody else. It's a very refreshing thing. It's a mini vacation. So who would you like to be? Write in and tell us on Facebook. So our topic, though, for this week, one of the things that we're talking about is fake it until you make it. So often, you know, we run into things, we all do. We're all, I certainly am guilty of this at least 7 times a week, where something happens and we go, well, I don't know how to do that. And a lot of times we could stop right there and go, I don't know how to do that. I know somebody recently who applied for a job and they were like, oh, there's a job skill on there that I don't know how to do. And my response was, Oh, okay, but that's something you could go and learn how to do almost overnight. Like, that you're going to seriously let that prevent you from applying for that job? Now, it would be different if they said they wanted you to have 5 years' experience doing something you've never, ever done before. But even then, that's a directive. It's like, okay, well, how do I get that 5 years of experience? If this is the job I want, how do I get to the point where I know how to do that? And usually the first step is to pretend that you know how to do it. Right? Or find somebody to teach you how to do it, and while they're teaching you how to do it, pretend you know how to do it while they're explaining it to you. There is something to be said for faking it until you make it. Obviously, we have to take that with a little grain of salt. I don't want somebody going in and, you know, doing surgery who doesn't know how to do it, right? But before somebody becomes a surgeon, they do a bunch of different things during which, oh, they're overwhelmed from time to time and think, I'm not going to be able to do that, but they fake it until they make it, right? I know that when my son was diagnosed with autism, I thought, I'm not going to be able to do this. And that honestly was the truth for me, that I just was like, I don't have it in me to do this. I don't have it in me to learn what I need to know, to be patient like I need to be patient. I would have guaranteed you. In fact, I look back and I go, I don't think I did. But somehow we got through it. And I can tell you that 9 times out of 10, it was like, well, I'm just going to act like I know what I'm doing. You know, because what are my choices here? I can sit here and do nothing, which doesn't accomplish anything, or I can act like I know what I'm doing, and surely if I'm going completely in the wrong direction, somebody will tell me. And I have been told that from time to time. And of course, there are those times when people go, no, I watched you for 2 years go in the wrong direction, but I figured you knew more about it than I did. Okay. You know, but fake it till you make it. It can be a very freeing thing. Who do you want to be? What do you want to do? Anybody can do it. Anybody can. So fake it till you make it, and then teach your kids how to fake it until they make it. And it's a fabulous thing. So some of the different things that are going on today, we're going to talk to Christina Adams, who is the brilliant author of the book A Real Boy. She's become a real advocate for camel milk and has been traveling the world. She stopped in with us in the fall to talk about her trip to Cuba. Well, now she's been to India and just says things like, well, you know, when I was in Rajasthan, rolls trippingly off of her tongue, and there was a time when she'd never been there. So I think she just decided, I don't know how to get there, but I'm going to figure it out, right? We've got the fabulous, fabulous inventor of the Tangle. You're going to love hearing how this wonderful toy that's taken the world by storm has so much more behind it than you previously thought. And then we've got another toy inventor, Jillian LaCreetz, who's going to be with us talking about Yowie Baby. There's a baby in your future or in your present, or if you know somebody who has a baby, this is the hottest gift of the holiday season for a baby. And we got ever so much more and lots of surprises coming up on this edition of Autism Live. Stick with us.
You're tuned into the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Network. So we're going to come back with Center for Autism or Autism Live in just a moment. Just to let you know, that's a 2-hour show. If you want to check them out, www.autism-live.com. That's their website for the website. Anyways, we will be back in just a moment here on the Community Living Show. My name's Kelly Rayburn. We will be back in a moment. And now, a 3-minute segment with Michael Rubin Cloggs.
Welcome to 3 Minutes with Michael. It's been a bit of a busy day. I've had a few meetings, talked to a bunch of people, trying to gather up a posse so that we can launch a crowdfund and gather lots of followers and lots of people joining in with the Balanced Living Show. So that brings me to a couple of words. And the first word is efficient. A lot of people try to be efficient. They try to make sure that they're not wasting time resources, that sort of thing. And here's the really weird part about this. When we look at nature, we find out that nature isn't very efficient. So why do human beings try to be efficient? Interesting thought. Instead of trying to be efficient, our goal should really be to be sufficient. That means that we actually get the things done. It doesn't matter the time frame or how fast we actually get them done, that we actually get them done so that they work. Sufficiency is actually more important than efficiency, according to nature. Just something to think about. How are you going to be sufficient for your life, for your family, for the world in general? Maybe it's your business. Maybe it's the connections that you'll make today. Maybe it's the message that you're going to get out to people today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Worry about today. What are you going to do today that will help make nature more sufficient right now? Think about it. Just some food for thought. Hope you're having a great day.
The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of each year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting exclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adaptive technology, and more. For more information, contact your local stations about the National Access Day. You're tuned into the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. My name is Kelly Rayburn. Michael's off for this week, and we're going to play you a bit of more of the Autism Live now. I'm already in progress now. So we will transfer you back there. And, of course, if you want to receive their Autism Live free newsletter, go to www.autism-live.com and join their email newsletter. Anyways, here's Shannon Penrod for the interview.
Zawitz, and guess what he is? He is the inventor of Tangle. So, Mr. Richard X. Zawitz, we are so excited to have you joining us from your solarium, which looks like you're on a tropical island. But this is just fascinating to me. First of all, you know, we have to say about it's a fidget toy, that's what it is. But I want to know, where did you get the inspiration to create this?
Well, good morning. Nice to be here with you folks. I'm so happy to be able to support you and be here. Well, the idea came, it's an aggregate of how it came about, but I am a so-called child of the 60s, and I studied Asian art and Asian philosophy and Asian art history, and I'm a sculptor. And part of my search in college at the University of Hawaii was for something I called essential energy. I hope you have all day because this is a long story.
It's fascinating already. I'm thrilled.
I'll keep it simple.
Okay.
So I have, a basic urge within me, a philosophical urge. So I was looking for what I called essential energy, but being that I'm spatial and I like form and I have a natural ability to sculpt or carve, I started carving stone and wood, I started to come up with ideas for what I thought was essential energy. I had an amazing professor from India, and he enabled me to discover curving or spiraling energy. So from what I thought was an essence, which is curving or spiraling energy or waving or circular energy, I discovered that all things in nature curve, and that all things in society or culturally curve, such as in artworks. You'll find throughout history, both in formal and informal art, there's curves, there's waves, there's knots. And I also found that in science as well, that everything from quantum particles to galaxies have curves or waves or spirals. So I made it my life's work to figure out why. And Tangle seems to be the result of sort of a universal energy form. It's purely accidental. The first the first manifestation was my senior thesis in college, which was a stone carving that curved. And then from there, I started just carving things and creating things that curve. And one day in a loft studio in Boston, where I eventually ended up in the mid-70s, I carved a wooden device, a sculpture, that had all 90-degree segments, but it was meant to be a one-of-a-kind sculpture. And it moved, and everybody played with it and couldn't get their hands off of it. And I said, maybe I have something here. Then eventually, 5 years later, I took it upon myself to go to Hong Kong and make that thing in plastic so that I could try and reach more people with my invention. That's the essence of how I invented it. There's a bit more to the story, but I think that might answer your question.
It's so fascinating, and it is addictive. I mean, I've sat here the whole time you were talking, and I was completely involved in what you were saying, but I can't put it down. I gotta say, you got it in all different colors and textures, and I've taken one apart here, and I'm going to connect it with another one so that you guys can see, and I could have taken it apart at any point and put it back together, that it's endless what you can do with these. Absolutely endless. So one of these that I've got here in my hand is a metallic one that's smooth, and the other one that I've got here in my hand is a metallic one that's got bumps all over it. And in terms of a sensory thing, the experience of both of these is totally different. And yeah. I can't stop playing with the metallic smooth one. And people have asked me, they've said, okay, why was this the adult toy? And I'd love to hear your thoughts on it too, but one of the things that really struck me is that the fidget toys that are all out there seem to be for kids that are of a certain age, like the 8 to 12 range. And then beyond that, it gets a little bit like it's not socially acceptable. But Tangle, I have seen these on executives' desks. And there is no one that can't play with one of these, and it's totally socially acceptable. And it's endless the things that you know, in the commercial we saw that there were people making jewelry out of them. You could do all kinds of things with this. And just to have it on the desk, an amazing, amazing thing. Now, were you surprised when we named it a toy for adults?
Absolutely not.
I thought so.
Absolutely not. In fact, I never intended it to be a toy. I had no idea. I think I left toys behind, although I have children. But when it came out, I intended it to be a sculpture. So I have these larger models I want to show you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, look at that.
So
that's
this
so
is
cool.
What we call the original Chrome Tangle. But this was one of the first ones I brought out, and the idea was for it to be a manipulative sculpture. And my first intention in 1981 was for Tangle to be a device that anybody could be creative with, a sculpture. So I really had no idea it was going to evolve into a toy. I thought it was just a sculpture, and you'd put it on your desk, and you could change the shape. My goal was to get something creative into everybody's hands possible. That was what I intended, and that, by the way, is still my goal. But it was not really going to be a toy for children or adults or boys or girls or moms or dads. But what has come about in the last 37 years is that Tangle now reaches, this is an informal demographic, but it reaches just as many adults as it does children, just as many boys as it does girls, and it multiculturally, we're in 90 countries and growing, and I also, believe it or not, I get testimonials from individuals that have pets that they give the Tangle to and they play with. For example, no joke, parrots love Tangle. That is no kidding. For some fascinating reason, parrots love Tangle. So I couldn't have dreamt where this was going to go in 150 million of these things later that have been given away or sold or traded or something. over 37 years. Couldn't have dreamt it, but that was the goal originally, was to find a universal energy form that would enable people to feel creative. That was the goal. But over the years, for example, I have been contacted by numerous therapeutic organizations, and one of them was the National Autistic Society here in Northern California. They said, we're using these for autistic children. I thought, how absolutely wonderful that that could occur. And so that was the beginning of my understanding of the therapeutic potentials. And since then, we have testimonials all over the from all over the world for the special needs spectrum for both adults and children. And so it's just a beautiful thing that Tangle is able to accomplish the benefits and the necessary therapeutic uses for individuals of all ages, all genders, and all cultures all over the world. So it's kind of a, you know, for a person like me who, you know, is an artist who tries to reach as many people as possible, it's a fantastic thing.
Well, it is a fantastic thing. And I have to say, as an autism mom and a member of the autism community, this is so great, because anytime you can give your kids something, and adults, because we've recommended it especially this year for adults, but really we could have made it for absolutely everybody. Anytime you can give somebody something that reduces their stress and gives them the ability to focus on something, because, you know, sometimes there's a part of our brain that we need, in order to get to and focus, we need to have something going on with our hands. Boy, I've seen that time and time again as a teacher, that if you give somebody, it's just like when you're driving your car, you kind of get lost in driving your car. You're aware, but you're working out a problem, and suddenly you get home and you're relaxed, and you've worked out the problem. It's because you were on the right side of your brain, and I swear that's what these things do. They get you on the right side of your brain. I am in love with this thing that I just made, because it's part it's part blue and part gold, and I've moved it around and I can do all kinds of things with it. I'm wondering, so you created this and now it's taken off and all over the world, and you've seen some of the things that people do with this. What's been the most fascinating thing that you've seen that somebody has done with a Tangle?
Oh my goodness, so many things. Gosh, I mean, You can name an individual, they've done something different, but one thing that really intrigued me over the years was I did a promotion in Turkey, and they had a contest to make the longest tangle. So they assembled about 100,000 of them, and there were about 10,000 individuals connecting them across the Bosphorus Bridge.
Wow.
Between East and West in Turkey. And I guess that was one of the most fascinating things. But, you know, what's beautiful about the Tangle is that there's no right or wrong with a Tangle. So you can pick it up and manipulate it. Somebody can't say that looks bad, because it doesn't. Somebody can say that looks good. That's fine. I want to go back to something, though. When we were just talking about the fidgets, the latest thing, these fidget spinners, not that I'm intentionally want to put them down, but I find them a diversion rather than something that helps the brain. And I think teachers are showing that too. But but more to my point is, so there's some science I wanted to explain. There's something called fidget to focus. So one of the reasons you feel good is, in the psychologist, PhD, named Dr. Roland Rotz, wrote a book called Fidget to Focus. So it turns out that when you use your left hand and right hand simultaneously, it engages the brain stem, which causes left brain and right brain to work more efficiently simultaneously.
That's what it is.
Which releases serotonin and dopamine, the pleasure and learning chemicals. And this helps individuals think and feel better and more efficiently. And this obviously works miracles with the autistic spectrum as well. So that's a bit of the science behind why we do this. So it's called fidget to focus. So this whole fidget craze, although I'm thankful for it because it's brought a lot more attention to Tangle, And my new distributor called Zuru is responsible for discovering Tangle. I've been out there in the weeds for 37 years doing this and very dedicated to it, but now we're doing a lot of important work all over the world to promote the fidget and the therapeutic use. So just so I give you a little bit more background on that. But anybody, anywhere, anytime can create a masterpiece with Tangle. So that's the beauty of it. You don't have to be extraordinary. And the whole point for me was when I invented this thing, I used to say, you too can become an artist. So that was the whole point.
Well, and I have made the sculpture now in my hand that I'm in love with that I want to put on my desk.
We're going to put it in a museum of modern art. Don't move it.
I'm telling you, I don't want to disturb it because it's so beautiful. I want that could be on my Christmas tree. Now, you know, so here you are. You created this thing. I'm imagining that from time to time you're in an airport or you're someplace and you see somebody playing with a Tangle. Do you ever go up to them and go, you know, I invented that? And do they believe you?
I don't exactly do it that way, but a lot of times if I see it in a shop or somewhere in the world, I go in and try and rearrange the way it looks. Or
so I try. You can't help yourself. You play with it.
I can't help myself. You're a mom. Yeah. I'm a dad and a grandpa. I have three grandchildren. And isn't it wonderful to see one of your offspring, no pun intended, it's a little bit like a spring.
Yeah.
But isn't it wonderful to see something as an artist and as a sculptor, there's something interesting about how that works because I'm a sculptor, so, and I've done a lot of stone carving and wood carving, so when I create something, it's for me, I can't imagine the process itself, but for me, it's like giving birth to something. It can take me years to create a work of art sometimes and finally finishing it and polishing it. And so each one of these is like my child. I know it sounds bizarre and nobody pays attention to me anymore,
I think we get that. That's a lovely thing.
I still believe each one has importance. That's crazy, but it's true.
I don't think so at all. That makes me happy to think that's
playing with them or at the airport. Yes, I do want to go up to them. In fact, as now that I think back, I have seen people playing with, and I said, no, maybe you want to try this way and do this and do that. You know, not for my ego, because I don't need that anymore. I'm too old for that. But I do feel great when people play with a Tangle, to be frank with you.
Absolutely. And, you know, we haven't talked about the fact that therapeutically, just the fact that you can take them apart and push them together and the twisting of the hands, this is great for hand-eye coordination. It's fine motor. There's a little bit of gross motor involved in it,
absolutely.
Visual motor. I mean, these OTs love these. They are absolutely fabulous. We have talked a little bit about the fact that they come in all different colors.
Yep.
You can get them in solid, or I'm showing you two here that are many different colors, but they have different color themes to them. And then I love the metal ones.
And then we have the textured like this.
Oh, where do you get the big fat ones like that?
Well, you can get them through tanglecreations.com.
Okay.
This is called the original Tangle. And then we have another one that you're going to love that actually we do have a lot in the special needs spectrum. This one
that's awesome.
has different textures on it and different colors, and people love this one.
Then
the other one that I think you're going to love is the one we're using for our Brain Tools brand.
Ah.
It's a Tangle, but this is very well used for the special needs spectrum because it's very durable, but it's got a synthetic rubber coating, which is safe for anyone, including chewing.
Okay.
And it's manipulative, and it's got these little textures on it. So it's a wonderful product to play with and to just manipulate and touch. And
super cool.
So that's another one I thought you might like to see. And then I'm going to show you a little bit of I'll show you one that's super cool, too. This one is really not promoted. This one we use for jewelry. It has little Swarovski crystals on it, so it's a cute little thing and you can wear it. That's a different story. Now here's a brand new one that we're just bringing out, and it has a texture and it has this process that I absolutely adore called water transfer. And we put these beautiful patterns on it. But if you can see, we also have the textures on there too.
It's
brand new and it's coming out in 2018. So it's a wonderful device to play with. I absolutely love it. Then last but not least to show you is we have our Relax Tangle. And like, and as you mentioned, it is a beautiful thing to help you relax. So this one, we have this rubber coating, but it's smaller. And you have this really nice tactile finish to it.
Oh, I love it.
And it's easy to play with, and it just makes you feel good. So this is another one that we have out now called Tangle Relax.
Love it. What a great, great gift to give to somebody. And I have to be honest, too, that they're all different price points. There's something for everyone. And these ones that I'm showing here, I mean, honestly, this can be a great reinforcer for somebody. You get them one, and then if you are they're working towards something and you know you want to give them a treat for something to reinforce good behavior, you get them a second one, which they can attach together, and you can keep building on them, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing. So I think there's a tangle in everybody's budget, and you know it's great to have something, whether it's your college student, you know, kids are using these on college campuses. It's socially acceptable, and it's relaxing and working on so many different things. So you can get these in almost any retailer, but if you want to get some of the more specialty ones, where's the best place to go?
Well, the biggest retailer right now that has Tangles is Walmart and Target and Toys R Us, but they're in all of the specialty retailers, the mom and pop specialty shops, and also you can get them, I'm pretty sure, through most of the autistic professionals know about Tangle, and I know that they work as distributors too. There may be specific ones that you can find, but I know very well that they're available through most of the professional autistic societies in America and worldwide, by the way, because we've been working with autistic professionals for at least, I'm going to say about 20 years now, since we put our first website out and we had email. Some of the first contacts we... That's my dog. Shush.
We got to see the dog before, and she is precious. So she's just having her voice be heard.
My little noisy thing on my face.
It's all
anyway, they're built for most of the professional autistic societies as well.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk with us, because I now know more about this. And I have to say, I loved it before, but knowing that all that thought... and that positive energy and the expectation of positive energy went into this just makes me love it that much more. So we congratulate you on the fact that this was our top toy, top gift for adults in 2016.
That is really an honor, and I really appreciate it. I really appreciate being with you.
I'm telling the wrong year. 2017.
Don't rush it. And then one last thing is that this is my mission statement, is that I will not feel satisfied until every man, woman, and child on this planet feels the joy of the creative process. And I believe that Tangle can change the course of history by doing that, away from, forgive me, fire and fury towards peace and creativity. That's my mission.
We love that. And we want to thank you and thank Zuru, because you guys made a generous donation to our Sensitive Santa event so that we were able to give a bunch of these away to people who wouldn't otherwise have had them. So thank you so much.
That's beautiful. That's fantastic. And, well, thanks so much.
And hug your dog for us. She's precious. and thank you so much. Everybody, make sure there's at least one of these in every stocking and for every Hanukkah event. Tangle. It's a fabulous, fabulous thing. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to be back with more Autism Live, so stick with us.
You're tuned in to Autism Live on the Community Living Show here on the NCRA Radio Network. So you can email or take it. If you want to have their free newsletter, check them out, autism-live.com. And follow the links for that. We'll be back in a moment. Hear more on Autism Live on the Community Living Show on the National Campus Radio Association Networks. My name is Kelly Rayburn. Community Living Show is stories for the people with disabilities, self-advocacy, adaptive technology, and many other issues, along with accessibility issues. If you want to participate and are a member of the any of the NCRA radio stations, including this station that you're listening to in the area, or if you have any story idea and want to become involved in the technician personnel, please email us. Our email address is communitylivingradio@gmail.com. No experience necessary. People with disability or non-disability are welcome to the show. This is the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. My name is Kelly Rayburn. Michael is away for this week when we're going to play you the conclusion of Autism Live, and you can check them out, www.autism-live.com. And, of course, they're always on the Center for Autism and Related Disorders, known as CARD. Their offices are pretty much around the globe anyways. Check them out, centerforautism.com. Here now is the conclusion of the show with Shannon Pamrod.
Welcome back to Autism Live. We're so lucky because joining us via Skype right now, we have the fabulous, the wonderful, the spectacular Bonnie Yates. She's a special education attorney with Heerji and Chow. Bonnie, so thrilled as always to have you with us.
Well, Shannon, right back at you. I was just, you know, sort of thinking about the fact that it's the end of the year again, you know, another year in the trenches, right?
Another trip around the sun.
Yeah. So I'm super glad to be here. I'm going to talk really fast about all the disclaimers and stuff because I want to get to the substance of what I want to talk about today.
Yes, ma'am.
Disclaimers. Autism Live answers questions using California law and federal law, because I'm licensed in California and the federal laws relating to disabilities and disability discrimination and whatnot are in force in all the 50 states. So if you have a problem and you're in another state, I can't help you with it because I'm not licensed there. And if you have a problem, you should contact an attorney, probably through the COPA website if you're in another state. If you're in this state, you can contact Heerji and Chow in Culver City, H-I-R-J-I, and Chow, C-H-A-U. We will give you a free consultation if you need one. Our phone number is 310-391-0330. And now I'm going to rush ahead because something has been going on this week and the week before that was really bothering me, and I couldn't quite put my finger on why. The office is involved in a due process hearing, and the school district and its attorney representatives are doing everything they can to prevent us from being able to introduce some evidence that we have of child abuse. And I don't want to go more into the details of the case. I don't think that's appropriate, but it doesn't matter. What I found myself thinking was that I was really bothered by this idea that the school district attorney just plays to win. And I started thinking about these discussions we had in law school about prosecutors and how the prosecutor has a higher ethical obligation in prosecuting somebody for a crime, and the prosecutor needs to make sure that an innocent person doesn't get convicted. And there's even, you know, discussions about how it's better for a guilty person to go free than for an innocent person to be convicted. And I thought, well, I think that a school district is in a position of greater responsibility with respect to suspected child abuse. And I wonder kind of what the law says about who's a mandated reporter in California and what it means to be a mandated reporter. So I started looking into this, and I got very interested in the issue because there are specific trainings for school personnel about mandated reporting of child abuse, and I thought it was highly relevant to our show because we already know that kids with disabilities are more likely to be abused than kids without disabilities, and I thought it was a sad but appropriate follow-up to our discussion about bullying.
So can we just pause for a second, Bonnie, and explain to people who don't know what a mandated reporter is?
Yes. So in the state of California, the law designates a lot of people as mandated reporters if they have a suspicion of child abuse, and that includes, you know, public school teachers, their aides, basically everybody that works in a public school, and it also applies to law enforcement people, to therapists, to medical doctors, pretty much anybody that would be, you know, in the chain of learning about or observing abuse. And so the questions come up not in terms of who's a mandated reporter, but in terms of what you need to do if you are a mandated reporter. So in California, so I have to read a lot today because I took a lot of notes. I did the training.
Okay.
Pretty much online. You can do it too if you want. So in 2013, 89% of the reports of child abuse made in California were made by mandated reporters led by school personnel, who made 22% of the reports of suspected abuse and neglect. So perhaps my experience with this school district that is trying as hard as it can to keep the evidence out of the hearing is not typical. Did you have a question, Chen?
Well, I just wanted to say for people who don't have any idea what mandated reporter is, I've had to be a mandated reporter in my life. You are forced, correct me if I'm wrong, you don't have a choice. If you see something that you suspect is child abuse, you are mandated, you are forced, you are legally responsible that you must report it. And there are actually, you know, if you don't, there are actions that can be taken against you legally because you have that. You are mandated. You must report. I just wanted to throw that in.
And that's a good point. And I do have some more specifics about that. But
good.
I think what you're understanding, Shannon, is if you aren't sure the way the law works in California, they want you to err on the side of reporting.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. So in terms of school personnel and you know, their role in this, the training notes that school personnel have more access to kids than most people and more opportunities to observe. So these are some of the policy reasons. You may be the trusted adult to whom someone reports. Now, we didn't always have laws relating to mandated reporters and child abuse. This started in about 1962, when people started thinking that physicians should report child abuse, and then the law expanded. So if you're a mandated reporter, as Shannon is properly pointing out, it's imperative that you know how to respond. And so all of this is codified in California Penal Code 11164 through 11174.3. But although I didn't do it today, Shannon, I will send you a link for the training. So this whole statutory scheme called CANRA is from 1980, and it talks about the protections and liabilities that a mandated reporter has and the procedures for school personnel to report.
Well, we don't have time for the rest of the Autism Live, but you can always check them out, www.autism-live.com, for the complete two-hour segment of the show. Before we go, we would like to say a Happy New Year to everybody who's listening to us, and thank you very much for tuning in to the show. And it means a lot to us for the full hour show that we do on the NCRA radio stations. If you have any comments or questions about our program, please email me. Our email address is communitylivingradio@gmail.com. Thank you very much to everybody who participated on the show, especially Michael Rubin-Cloggs, who has been a fantastic moderator for the show. Without him, we wouldn't have this show completely. But anyways, thank you very much. And of course, we're on three different stations on the stations on the NCRA Radio's networks. First off is on Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5. We're broadcast every Sunday mornings from 10 to 11. Please note that we're not available on the 6th of January and the 13th of January. We'll be back on the 20th of January. We're also on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming online at citr.ca. And, of course, we're trying to get CHLY onto the program Their website is www.choy.ca. That's their Nanaimo facility. Thank you very much again. Happy New Year, everybody. We will be back again next week. Same time, same stations on the NCRA Radio Networks. Have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.
Stranger in my bed, there's a pounding in my head, glitter all over the room, big flamingo in the pool. I smell like a mini bar, DJ passed out in the yard, Barbie on the barbecue. A bruise, pictures of last night, and it up online, I'm screwed. Oh, well, it's a blacked out blur, but I'm pretty sure it the dots. Don't know what to tell my boss. Think a city told my gosh, Chandelier is